RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 68 with guest Keith Meyer, recorded live July 16th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
That's me. Hey, everyone. Hello, Richard.
Hello, sir. Enjoying your summer?
Yep. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here. You know what? I think when we're done with this one, it's going to be time for me to go find a boat and water.
Good plan. I'm just working nonstop these days. I'm off on more trips and never home. It's tough. We end up doing lots of shows back to back just to fit them all in with my crazy schedule.
Yeah, that's it. And do three or four in a day sometimes, but you know, that's okay.
It's fun, actually. I find myself getting more energized as the day goes by, diving into all these cool topics.
Yep, and a lot of cool people that we're talking to about a lot of awfully interesting things.
With that, why don't we just get into our show?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Greg, let's introduce our guest. For the past 15 years, Keith Meyer has been focused on design, implementation, and training of information technology projects for large global organizations. Currently, Keith is the Chief Technology Officer with Bright Planet, a Microsoft training and consulting partner specializing in enterprise network technologies and initiatives. As CTO, Keith focuses on development and delivery of best practices in training and consulting services to a worldwide audience of Microsoft customers. Keith also works closely with technology vendors and industry organizations as a subject matter expert in the areas of project management and data center consolidation. Welcome, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Greg. Pleasure to be here.
So we bumped into each other at Speaker Idol, TechEd US.
That's right. That was a great time. You guys did a great job at organizing that, running around hectically, but
and you were my wild card finalist and came in second place, right?
That's right.
Yeah, you did a great job, Keith.
Yeah, it was an awesome talk, as I recall.
Yep, data center consolidation versus virtualization
in 5 minutes flat.
Sure.
That is not an easy thing to do.
That's
not
real
a lot
challenge.
Of time.
It was definitely a challenge. You know, as a speaker, typically, the first 5 or 10 minutes, you're just getting warmed up with the audience to be able to settle in on a topic. And
yeah,
having the entire talk in 5 minutes, being a relatively technical topic, it really focused everyone on presentation skills right from the get-go.
Absolutely.
And when your audience is four expert speakers, it's even a little tougher.
So exactly. What are we talking about today?
Microsoft infrastructure optimization.
And this is what Bright Plan, and it's, of course, you call it Bright Planet, but it's really Bright Plan IT, which I think is a great name.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been working closely with Microsoft and other industry leaders over the last couple of years, really, on the development and education of infrastructure optimization as a way to business align IT technology investments and really be able to produce a track going forward for the IT community within an organization to be able to prioritize projects that are going to have the greatest business impact and provide the greatest value in reducing cost of management, becoming more agile. And I think in terms of Microsoft infrastructure optimization, even though it has Microsoft's name in the assessment process, it's really a very generic industry-wide look at IT initiatives that don't necessarily involve just Microsoft technologies. Certainly, Microsoft would like them to all result in the sale of additional Microsoft products, but it's really a great way of looking at the overall IT environment you have in place and then being able to strategically prioritize and determine which directions make the most sense going forward. And I think to a large extent, really to appreciate the value of something like an optimization assessment and a business aligned project, set of project directions, we really need to take some retrospective looks at what's been going on for IT pros within IT over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Sure.
Over the last, since the turn of the century, really, IT in many organizations has been very technology focused because of a number of technology driven initiatives that have sprung up that have needed to be addressed. You know, at the turn of the century, it was the Y2K craziness. And then after that was over, the focus on security because of the increased attention and the increased level of vulnerabilities that were being exposed.
Right.
And after that, it was 9/11 with the focus on disaster recovery and being able to recover quickly from server, data center, organization-wide disasters. And then even last year, a large amount of time was spent on daylight savings time readiness, right, in 2006, focusing a lot of technology effort on really getting the technology investment that an organization has maintained over the last 8 or 9 years to a point where it's stable and performant and secure and can be leveraged by the users on a network for logging in and running normal business application.
I'd even throw Sarbanes-Oxley into that stack, too. I think the IT cost of planning is just can't be underestimated around SOX.
Right.
Sure. And not just SOX, but a variety of compliance-driven initiatives that cover other industries, like the healthcare industry, and to a much larger extent, any of us that are working in any type of organization now have to comply with the wonderful world of the amended Federal Rules of Civil Procedure for management of electronic data in our environment in a e-discovery aware manner if our organization receives any type of litigation requests in terms of meeting, you know, court, pressing court actions or sanctions or whatnot.
The wonderful litigious world of the United States.
You know, we do spend more and more time during each show, it seems, talking about different compliance requirements and different rules and regulations, whether they're private or whatever. PCI is another good one to mention that's, you know, brought up by private industry.
Sure.
Sure. Definitely. So, and as I go through visiting with the organizations that we work with and talking with people that may have attended various sessions or presentations or talks that I've delivered, I really get the sense that throughout 2007, a lot of the IT pros are kind of in that phew state of, okay, we've got all the technology pieces in a row. Now we need to start looking forward. But over the last 18 months, there's been such a huge introduction of new products and technologies, even in just the Microsoft world, ranging from SharePoint and Office 2007 to Server 2008 to Vista to on and on and on. That they're looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, we know that we're at that point. Many of us are in organizations where we've made the investment in 2000 and 2004 or 5 for hardware refreshes. We're looking at these upcoming, you know, next year and perhaps later this year, some upcoming initiatives that we know from a technology standpoint we need to address, but they're huge initiatives. And so what the infrastructure optimization process allows us to take that step back and allow us to evaluate our current environment because of the way that technology has been deployed in many organizations to meet these more piecemeal technology initiatives that have arisen over the last 8 years. The technology that's in an environment may be working well from a user standpoint, but it may not be the most easy to manage. It may not be the most scalable. It may not be the most cost-effective way of running that environment. And really, with the new economic climate that's impacting many of our organizations, that pressure gets added into our technology drive of where are we going and what makes the most sense from not only a stabilization, improving management and performance of our IT network environment, but also from the standpoint of what contribution are these investments going to make to our organization's bottom line.
So I'm looking at the MicrosoftIO.com site, and I guess this is a Microsoft initiative, Microsoft optimization.
It is. It's a Microsoft initiative that other industry partners like Bright Planet, as well as very large manufacturers like HP and IBM and Dell, have adopted and worked together to try to help IT pros communicate to first determine which direction they need to take their technology investment going forward, and then help them understand and communicate that to the business powers within their organization. You know, oftentimes IT pros within an organization are great at being able to understand the technical aspects of their IT investment. When it comes time to communicating that value to the business, there's somewhat of a communication gap. And this assessment process can also help to address that, particularly, as I said, in today's economic environment where the business value, the business impact is becoming more and more a chief focus around any investments that are being made into IT.
So is this really about figuring out, is this bottom line stuff? I'm trying to reduce the cost of my infrastructure?
Well, that's certainly a component of it, but it also takes into account what types of productivity gains can users realize in specific areas? What types of management gains can I realize in terms of reducing not only the overall capital cost of expanding and maintaining our environment, the operational costs, but also the IT resources that are involved, the time that's spent. One of the, based on some very recent industry surveys of some of the top CIOs throughout North America, what they've determined is that as much as 70 to 80% of an IT budget in terms of capital, operational costs, and resources are involved in just maintaining the environment
right.
that organization has today.
Right.
Leaving only about 20 to 30% of time and money available to do anything about it. So with only that 20 to 30% delta today to really be able to change and improve upon the environment, it makes a lot of sense to take that step back and analyze where are we going to get the most value for these improvements, as well as being able to analyze what the potential dependencies are for the various components that make up an environment. I talked to, as an example, I talked to lots of organizations that have looked at Windows Vista over the last 12 months in terms of, we know we have to refresh our hardware platform, and we've looked at Vista, and we're not really sure what to do because we've got application and device compatibility and whatnot, and we're not sure about the performance impact it's going to have on our network and how the footprint's going to be in talking to our existing servers and whatnot. And that approach, while it's worked well over the past 8 years in kind of this piecemeal technology-driven fashion, really needs to be realigned to say, okay, well, we see there's strategic advantages in our organization from a user and management standpoint, a security standpoint, to Vista, but we know we have these dependencies. So rather than rushing into a workstation-by-workstation deployment, let's first architect our environment so that as Vista comes into the environment, it's a component of an overall comprehensive system, instead of treating a network environment like a set of workstations and a set of servers that happen to be connected via common cabling.
Well, and you know, I worry about Vista in a corporate environment like this if we're talking about productivity, because there are enough things different in Vista. Just getting past the IT cost of, can you get it installed? Can you get it running with all the right gear and so forth? There's the time for people to be efficient with what is a substantially different operating system. And that's an interesting challenge. And weighing the cost of training and reinforcement of those changes, are you going to net greater productivity for that shift?
And that's a great point, that education of the users in their environment and how to effectively leverage any new technology platform is key in being able to really reap the benefits from the overall business productivity side. And what we're seeing in the enterprises that we're working with that have chosen to move forward with Vista as a component of their technology refresh strategy is that they're combining Vista and Office 2007 with some strategically focused training and a blended approach of that training that involves a little bit of upfront face-to-face delivery for a couple hour sessions, along with some self-paced electronic e-learning just-in-time training to be able to kind of maximize that training. If an organization moves forward with just Vista and the applications, the Office applications predominantly haven't really changed, you're doing some training to get them accustomed to Vista, but you're not really able to leverage that to any great magnitude because the training that you're leveraging for Vista can be pretty costly. And from that standpoint, if you look to package other applications with that are going to make sense and perform well and give equally great value to the users, you can take advantage of the benefit of increased economics to do the training once and cover multiple solutions that encourage users to effectively leverage those applications in a desktop platform. From that standpoint, the other side of that equation, of course, is that giving too much to users all at once can be overwhelming. So from a training standpoint, we're seeing a lot of organizations chop that into little pieces.
Yeah, you can only learn so fast.
Exactly. Here's what's most important. We're going to provide that to you, perhaps through some internal training we deliver as a couple lunch and learn type sessions to get you accommodated. And then, as you interact with the platform and application, we're going to provide additional, very specific, directed training that's available on more of a self-paced manner, perhaps, for the various applications that you're using on top of this.
Where does the whole green movement fit into this equation?
So the green movement is certainly a movement that's aiming to help the environment as a whole, but within an organization is certainly selfishly helping that organization reduce their not only environmental footprint, but their cost of operating that equipment by reducing heat and power and overall space within the data center. And from that standpoint, the green movement has a direct relationship with any type of IO assessment, because the cost of operating that environment once you've migrated to it versus the cost of operating your current environment can be a direct impact into the organization's bottom line in terms of cost saving.
Yeah, it's interesting how when you do green right, it actually shifts that 70% overhead over a bit. That not only am I saving money and doing something quote unquote good, I'm also opening up myself to more time to optimize.
In terms of green IT initiatives, I've seen a lot of focus within many organizations on the data center, making the data center green.
Right.
And while that's very important, there's another aspect of the network that's sitting at the other end of all those network cables that can be an even greater impact to the operational cost of an organization's bottom line, but is much harder to track, and that's the workstations that are sitting at the other end. You know, a typical environment that may have 60, 70, 80 servers and some storage and switches in their data center, that same environment probably has thousands and thousands of old workstations on their network that are looking to be replaced. And one of the key advantages from a workstation standpoint, particularly with the enterprise class or business class workstation platforms that are available today, is that by leveraging advanced power saving, the ACPI 3.0 specs, and out-of-band hardware management agents that help us to centrally control power consumption by putting PCs that are idle to sleep after hours, for instance, and waking them up in the morning.
If we'd actually just use that wake on LAN feature we've had for years, you know, so that we could actually shut those machines all but down and then only wake them up to do their updates.
Exactly. And the traditional wake on LAN type feature sets, you're right, they've been around for years and years. But a lot of organizations have been somewhat adverse to deploying it because it's hard to deploy centrally.
You have
some touch time involved in enabling it on each PC. And it's not, in the traditional sense, wake on LAN isn't really security focused. If it's enabled in the old days, anybody could send a specific magic packet across the wire and wake your workstations up. And some of the security-conscious organizations have been looking at it from the standpoint of, do I really want anybody that gets into my network to be able to wake up all my machines and then starting to probe those machines for security vulnerabilities over the network?
But the alternative is you left them on and they're probable anyway.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. So, to address that, what some of the hardware vendors have been offering is a hardware management out-of-band agent that's built into the system platform that really rivals some basic capabilities of what's available in many of the server platforms today in terms of remote hardware management, so that security is baked into these desktop PCs and they use a PKI certificate exchange and Kerberos authentication, so that any of these hardware management features, waking the PC up, forcing it to boot from alternate media, shutting it down, putting it into sleep mode, are all now authenticated using network authentication and encrypted using certificate-based security.
So much more sophisticated kinds of, it's not just a prompt to wake up.
Exactly. And then to address the centralized deployment of this, they have features built in where you can put in centralized provisioning services, in many cases on existing servers that are already in your environment, so that as those PCs are brought out of the box, plugged into your network environment, they boot up and they can look for set of central instructions that IT has for them as to how those hardware management agents should be configured and integrate with the network environment.
So moving along in this topic, I think one of the areas that it's easy to look at our data centers, our core infrastructure, and even business productivity, which is largely software we're buying from Microsoft and other vendors. But the custom apps, I don't know of any developers that really think in terms of optimization, or their optimization is purely make the app faster. There's no other kinds of optimization.
Sure. And oftentimes that's driven by application development timelines and goals that the business is set to deliver X functionality to the users so that they can begin using the application. And it's very much in the application development world, the same type of issue we find in the IT pro world with technology core infrastructure, right? Where we have certain deadlines that this stuff has to be in place by. So we're going to target that instead of stepping back and taking that more big picture look at things. So from an application development standpoint, that big picture is also important because if you have application developers in your environment that are writing custom apps, certainly by helping them to first standardize on a common set of tools and a common development platform that's robust and lends itself to more rapid application development, you have the ability to now pool your resources instead of treating your application developers as, well, he's the Cold Fusion guy, he's the .NET guy, this is the SharePoint guy over here. It allows you to have a common layer of cohesion around those developers so that you can really pool the code that each of them are developing into a common repository and be able to potentially leverage that across the application. You know, the application optimization, application platform optimization is really a different way of looking at some of the evolving application development mindsets that have been getting addressed at the very ultra-large global enterprise organizations for years in terms of developing a more service-oriented architecture. And in the Microsoft development world, there's some great ways to be able to leverage that with, in many cases, products and development technologies that an organization may already own in terms of SQL Server 2005 or 2008 moving forward, in terms of Visual Studio, in terms of SharePoint, to be able to develop applications wisely in a manner where the common code is very reusable, is core to the business, and that common functionality can then be leveraged across countless front-end applications, whether they're developed via ASP.NET, whether they're Windows console applications, or traditional Windows client applications and whatnot.
I wonder when we're going to get to a point where we can do stuff like watts per transaction. Of course, I've got a real green bent, and it's not nothing to do with being in Vancouver per se, where Greenpeace started, but rather I'm just getting a lot of pressure from the outside world on making data centers more efficient and so forth, and we're starting to raise power density per rack. I mean, these are interesting problems. They were kind of optimization. I just don't think they're the only kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Very interesting, the level of granularity that the industry is moving towards for looking at impact to the bottom line.
Sure.
Is increasing all of the time. And that's why taking this assessment approach initially, before you start making additional investments in other technology, makes some sense to make sure that if you're going to make that investment, if you know you have to make these investments anyway, let's make them wisely and let's choose solutions that can really further our environment instead of tacking on all these solutions to the perimeter of our existing environment and increasing the overall management, the number of IT resources we need to have internally to maintain it, and whatnot.
Now, I noticed there's a customer assessment tool available on the MicrosoftIO.com website.
The other URL that customers can certainly visit is just the generic, off the generic Microsoft.com site. There's a /optimize link that takes them through, gives them links to that same assessment process as well as additional background information on the core IO infrastructure assessment, the business productivity infrastructure assessment process, and the application development platform assessment process.
Yeah, it even looks like there's even an offline version of the assessments for each of those core areas as well that you can access and leverage.
And the benefit from an IT pro standpoint, or one of the benefits, is that the assessment process gives you that high-level snapshot of where your organization would be best benefiting an investment in technology, maybe several different areas. But the report that it produces is a very business-savvy view of technology within your organization, as well as providing comparisons of the industry that your organization is in, and the size of your organization, to other similar organizations in the same industry and of the same size, so that you have a real sense for, competitively, if the way that IT is leveraged in your organization, putting your business ahead of the curve, on target, or behind the curve as well, which is very interesting from an IT pro standpoint. A lot of IT professionals don't think about a company's investment in technology as being strategic as a competitive advantage to that organization, but leveraged right, it certainly can be.
In terms of rate of work, number of hours it takes to get certain things done, number of people it takes to operate a certain infrastructure, I mean, it can be very dramatic.
Certainly can. Yeah, we've seen just on real simple kind of baby step initiatives. After going through an optimization assessment, one of our clients looked at putting infrastructure and new desktops in place in a very intelligent manner. And they were able, by taking the approach of following the guidelines from the optimization assessment and building project plans around that, that did some planning and testing up front, they were able to deploy those workstations and those new servers and reduce power consumption and the operational costs on them by 75%.
Wow.
You know, their power costs per workstation, they had measured in working with their utility company as being $80 a year in power consumption per workstation. And $80 a year doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you multiply that times the 10,000 workstations this organization had, by using the advanced power management, hardware out-of-band management, they were able to reduce just that power footprint down to $10 a year per workstation. And it was really, you know, just that alone was a huge contributor back to the ROI that the organization saw on deploying those new workstation platforms. And that's something that's going to just continue on an annual basis. So the savings impact, the cost impact, the advantage to an organization can be surprisingly dramatic, even in just small components of following down this path. And then the overall impact is if you develop a path that's a cohesive path and you're able to achieve effective business results at every step, they just build on each other as you're moving down that path. And give you, by the time you get to that end of the path on your 3-year, perhaps, technology plan refresh cycle, by the time you get to the end of the path, you've substantially addressed and reduced issues across your environment from data center stuff.
It could be very dramatic. And it's interesting how those things will progress over time, that you can look at it a couple of different ways. It's one thing to put the money in the pocket. It's another thing to use that space now, that additional budget, to extend your competitive advantage further.
Sure, definitely. Definitely. The other aspect that we've seen IT pros be able to use an assessment process like this to their advantage within the organization for is demonstrating the value of additional training that's focused on the technology that an organization needs to deploy to become more competitive, more cost effective, and whatnot. In many organizations, training is kind of a hard sell. And IT pros, that's one of the big challenges that as I talk to IT pros that are out in the field, that's one of the big issues that they face is how do I demonstrate the value of training myself and my staff to the people in my organization that are making those types of decisions? And by pairing it up with a comprehensive plan that shows that business impact of combining effective training and an overall project plan, it becomes very easy to justify.
And so on one hand, I see there's actually the savings element of doing this work. But on the other hand, I see an opportunity for IT pros really to get good documentation for talking ROI concretely about their infrastructure.
As they continue to grow within their organization, those IT pros can use this type of process as a set of steps to establish a much closer working relationship with the people that are on the business side of their organization.
Sure.
Because if they can begin talking about IT in terms of how the business owners, the business decision makers see making an impact in the environment, they're going to get huge credence and much more leeway in being able to recommend and optimize the environment moving forward without as much pressure from the top down.
Yeah, and IT being a key component, a strategic component of a company's business is really, really the modern way of doing things. So this is a great opportunity for some IT shops to grow up, if you will, and some tools and with this MIO packages. And there's a huge number of resources available on these websites for organizations just to get started. Seems like a real opportunity to mature as an IT department.
The other advantage that I see for the IT pro on a more professional development individual basis is that none of the IT pros I talk to want to spend 70% of their time maintaining their existing environment.
Right.
And that's
right.
Glamorous and fun and exciting and doesn't develop you as a forward-focused IT professional. So the more technology that you can implement that helps you shrink that maintenance investment not only helps the business, but it helps IT pros themselves so they have more time to focus on really the fun and exciting stuff, right? More time to be able to get trained, be able to implement new stuff.
Or building up your WoW character, right? So that you can sell it on eBay for more money. Yeah. Nobody does that, though.
Nobody does that.
So the impact is huge. At a personal level, at a professional level, at a business level, it you know, properly architected and done right, it's just a great path to follow to help out in so many ways.
All right, gentlemen, we're coming up to the end of our half hour. Final thoughts.
Well, Microsoft optimization, again, is a structured process for assessing your ability to leverage IT in a business-directed manner. It's a great approach. I encourage you to look into it in more detail. If anyone has any questions or would like some advice and guidance on the process, they can feel free to contact me or visit us on the brightplanet.com site. And I encourage you as an action item coming out of this session to visit the Microsoft.com/optimize page and begin exploring ways that you can align your business and IT strategies together.
Good stuff.
Keith Meyer, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.